Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. This present truth is on the air. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank you once again for the opportunity to share the word of God with the people of God. I pray, Lord, that you would give us insight into the scripture, that you will help us today, Lord, with an understanding and clarity out of the word of God concerning the day and time in which we live. Give us the present truth, that which is relevant for the day in which we live. Thank you, precious Lord, for an utterance and an unction from the Holy One. We give you thanks, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Thank God once again. For those of you that are joining us, we want to look at a passage of scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The topic of our discussion as of late has been how to be victorious in difficult times, dealing with difficulties of life and stress and things that come with it. How does the child of God remain victorious? It's important to know the day that we're in so that our hearts can come to God for more grace and mercy. We can come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need, times of trouble. 2 Peter chapter 2 says this, verse 1. This is the NIV. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll read it in the New King James as well. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. New King James says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." Verse 2, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Now, let me just stop there, brothers and sisters, as Peter is giving way to what has begun to break forth amongst them already. John, the beloved, even testifies of this in his epistles, that false teachers are coming, that they came from among them first. And here Peter is saying the same thing, false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. See, brothers and sisters, what he's pointing to is a day of deception where people are not satisfied with Jesus. They're not satisfied with the truth of the word of God. They're always looking for something more. And this is why that we emphasize the scripture over what some of these false teachers calling themselves motivational speakers, calling themselves life coaches. It's not of God. It's of man. It's of this world. And it can only help those that are in the world. It can't help the people of God, any at all, because Jesus didn't call life coaches. He made disciples, and he told us to not try to get people's wool and earnings. No, he said, make disciples of all nations and immerse them into the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I've taught you. So what we have today, brothers and sisters, is a lot of artificial Christian faith that's not legitimate. Peter is dealing with those. And how is he dealing with them? He says, they're coming. He says, they're false. That's what he's pointing out. That there are prophets, there are teachers among you, but they're false. Something happened to their genuineness. They may have come with truth. They may have started well, but something happened in their heart that started leading towards them and their falseness. He says, false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Now, what are these teachers going to bring? Heresies, notice. who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. These are pet doctrines that they believe that are not proven by the scripture. That's why, brothers and sisters, we must be astute in the scripture as students of the word of God to be able to identify that which is being taught that's not true. That's not true. Some of the teaching on prosperity, not true. It don't matter who the teacher is, whether you like them and how many members they got. It's false teaching. They may be your favorites. You may have visited their ministries. You may even be close with them, but they're false teachers, false prophets. Among us, they brought in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. This is the extent of these destructive heresies. And Peter is bringing this out. They will bring on themselves swift destruction. Now, you see something similar to this where Paul is telling Titus about some of these who are coming and how he needs to silence them because of what they're doing. They were demolishing whole households. Look in Titus chapter 1 because he had a very, very interesting assignment in Crete to go and to set things in order, to establish leadership and elders. And he was doing that. But there was something that he encountered that Paul was writing to him in verse 9. He's talking about those who need to be raised up as leaders. He says he must hold firmly, verse 9, to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others, notice, by sound doctrine and refuse those who oppose it. Brothers and sisters, the only thing that can oppose false teachers is sound doctrine. Those that are rooted in the truth. We're not afraid of this false teaching, and we can identify those that are false and what they're teaching is false and disprove out of the scriptures that what they're teaching is heresy. So, brothers and sisters, Titus is given instructions by Paul in this same scenario. Notice, he says these... He says, therefore, in verse 13, he says, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith. Notice what brings soundness, sharp rebuke. That there are too many that are leading works that are not submitted to authority. What do they need to bring them back? Rebuke, reproof through the scriptures to highlight their error and bring them back into the truth. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm very much aware of these times because we saw someone coming up in the things of God with us that we admired, that became borderline a heretic because of what he believed about hell and all these things. I remember when men of God rooted in truth that he looked up to went to him to sit down with him and share with him the truth, and he refused them. As though what had been revealed was higher than some of the fundamentals of the faith. No, my brother, you're in error. You're bringing heresies, and you're going to damage those that are sincere in the faith, that are looking for Jesus, a pure Jesus without mixture. And you're bringing some false teaching that hasn't been proven in scripture, whether it's prosperity, whether it's getting more money or not. We are not allowed to do that. We must preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm coming to you with Christ and him crucified. That's it. That's all I'm coming with. My brother, my sister, we have to come back to the basics of the Christian faith before they slip away and the people coming up in Christianity don't know the Jesus that we've been rooted and grounded in. Notice with Titus, he says, these, they claim, he says, I want you to see that. He told them what to do. Rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the commands of those who reject the truth. Verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, notice, nothing is pure. He's talking about the purity of their faith. Brothers and sisters, it had been corrupted. They had been defiled through false teaching, through hearing things that weren't true, through trying to carry out something that somebody said God revealed to them, and it wasn't true. It wasn't God, and you believed it. You believed a lie. So this is what he's encouraging the people of God to stay connected. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to just share with you four principles that can protect you from false teaching. We saw this even in the book of Acts when 3,000 souls were arrested at once on the day of Pentecost. There was instruction given that protected these from getting caught up in false teaching. And the Jewish minds of the day, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that were opposing the disciples. In Acts chapter 2, what I want you to see, brothers and sisters, there were principles that they began to share with the multitude of those that came. And in verse 40, this is the NIV, chapter 2, verse 40, with many other words, he warned them. Or let's start at verse 38. Paul replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Notice verse 40. With many other words, he warned them. Notice, he's bringing a warning to them now, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation, that the generations coming are going to be more and more corrupt. And he's saying, save yourself from that. How? How? Notice. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added unto their number that day. Now, here it is, verse 42. This is how they were able to stay protected from false teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Listen, verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They were together. What protected them? I'll tell you what protected them. They devoted themselves. The King James says they continued steadfastly in four things. It protected them from error. It kept them from false teaching. And they stayed together. This is what the local church in many areas is lacking. We're teaching this false stuff about rewiring and, you know, unique way. And now we're having people come and share poems over the pulpit. And that. None of that has the power to save. None of it has the power to save. Even the seven last words of Jesus on Good Friday with somebody preaching a different one. Come on, is that still what we believe is going to bring a move of God? Is that going to redeem the lives of men and women, even those that are there? No, it's not. No, it's not. Maybe we too have been deceived with all these other things that we're adding, and now we're slowly defiling ourselves, which that isn't the gospel. No, these continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, prayers. What was the emphasis? The teaching of the word of God. Not just someone who is an apostle giving instructions. That's false teacher. And that apostle calling himself that is a false teacher. No, he's just trying to get you to come under his authority and come under his witchcraft so he can take advantage of you. No, it's a personality cult. Stay away from that. Stay in the word of God. The apostles' doctrine. It's wholesome teaching. It's not trying to find an apostle and then just hear his teaching. No, that's not what he's talking about. And that's not what they continued in. They continued in what they were receiving by way of the apostles, who were first disciples of Jesus. And they listened to them. They continued steadfastly in that teaching. Then there was the breaking of bread, We understand that the Lord himself could be seen and revealed through the breaking of bread. So that continued, because where two or more are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of them. They continued steadfastly in fellowship with one another. This is the koinonia. This is the uniqueness of Christian fellowship, that when we come together, God's presence, God's power, God's authority can just come and invade the place. If anyone's sick, they can be healed. If anyone's damaged, if anyone's bound, they can be set free instantly, because it's the environment where Christ comes in and changes. Brothers and sisters, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Hey, brothers and sisters, they never broke fellowship. No one said, hey, that's good. I had a good time. Now I got to go to work tomorrow. I don't know what the rest of the, that's enough church stuff. No, they continued steadfastly. And something's wrong with the heart that can't stand fellowship. I don't trust that heart. That heart may have been defiled. No, if there's a problem with fellowship, if there's a problem coming around the people of God, you need to check your heart. Something ain't right with you, because these continued steadfastly in fellowship. I got to say, brothers and sisters, the fellowship that I came up in, the youth fellowship, that's what made it a fellowship. The fellowship. The fellowship made it a fellowship that we never forgot. You could call it youth ministry. To us, it was the fellowship. Because we knew that we were coming together to lay our all before the Lord and to actually see what true, genuine, Christ-like fellowship and relationship is like. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and the last thing they continued steadfastly in, prayer. Can I just stop here long enough to ask, brothers and sisters, what is the quality of your prayer life? Is it difficult to stay prayed up? Are you daily in your time with God like Jesus? Jesus had a daily time that he met with the Father. You can find that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35. That he would find a solitary place and there he prayed. Early in the morning he would go and meet with the Father. Similar to how the Father would come and meet Adam in the cool of the day for fellowship. It's a requirement to rule on the earth. How many men want to rule on the earth and rule in their homes? It's not possible without a connection and a fellowship to the Lord God who released the authority to you. That fellowship with him is more important than what he gives you. So what we see here is that these false teachers, they're going to be dealt with. But what I wanted you to see in Second Peter, if we go back there, these are the four things that protected the young embryonic church in those days from being deceived. I want to point out one last thing before we close in prayer. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As I'm considering what the Lord is saying in the scriptures concerning deception, the last days, perilous times, difficult days, I'm seeing how important it is for us to be rooted in our faith, that if you're not, you're going to be susceptible, more susceptible to deception. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'll start at verse 1 for the sake of context. We've emphasized this. There were also false prophets among you, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, in closing, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Notice, brothers and sisters, that even though we're seeing people bring swift destruction on themselves because of false teaching, it says, many will follow their destructive ways. I think the King James says, their pernicious ways. They're vicious in wanting to sweep people away from the truth. Their hearts have turned to just become darkness to those who may have even received light at one point, and to just quench it with something that's false. These have been released, deputized, if you will, by darkness to those who are not rooted in their faith. He says, many will follow their destructive ways, and because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Covetousness, all these things are going to be central in the lives of those that are on the scene today. Brothers and sisters, the bottom line is we must be rooted in truth. We must be rooted in our faith. We cannot be content with church attendance and church activities and programs that are not keeping us rooted in the truth. Whole households are being subverted. People's lives are being committed into the hands of those who aren't even anointed and equipped for ministry. We don't even check anymore, brothers and sisters. All we do is we say is we're looking for a church and we're looking for various characteristics, but we're unable to discern whether or not they're actually sharing the truth of the Word of God. Because maybe you yourself aren't astute to actually recognize what is truth and what isn't. So I want to admonish you, my brothers and sisters, if you are planted somewhere where God has put you, stay there and bloom. Bloom where you planted. Stop thinking the grass is greener on the other side. It's astroturf. There is no perfect church. If it is, don't join it, because it ain't going to be perfect after that. We're imperfect people. Why are we looking for something that's perfect? Because something has told us falsely that it exists out there. It doesn't. It doesn't. Nowhere do we find, even in the book of Acts, where there's perfection in these congregations. People in these congregations are deceived. In all of pretty much the prison epistles, Paul is giving instruction as to how to watch out for those who are raising themselves up, calling themselves prophets. Even in the book of Revelation, there those seven churches, they were given instructions. Those who are apostles and were not, and were proven that they weren't in apostolic ministry. It's today in which we live. Are you astute enough to be able to identify error? What's true and what is not true, the furthest from the truth? All these doctrines on prosperity, all these doctrines on go get the money and all of that, it's all based on mammon. Where's the temperance in this? Where's the self-control? Where are those that say, I have enough? I don't have to go and get more. What I have is sufficient. Where is the spirit of contentment and godliness, which is great gain? What about covetousness? I see somebody else has something. All of a sudden, I want the same thing that they got because I like what they have. What about covetousness? These are issues that the prosperity message isn't addressing. So it's corrupting the hearts of those that you're telling to go get the money. It's corrupting them. My brother, my sister, as you're running after these things, how many lives are you diverting away from the truth of the gospel? How many people are you telling to go get the money and they've left their wives? They've abandoned their children. They have babysitters that are there to raise their children while they go get the money. What kind of generation of children are they raising that we are going to have to share in righteousness? It's going to be a messed up generation, and we're seeing it today. We're seeing it today, my brother, my sister. Will you be one of the ones that God can entrust the truth with so that you can guide the lives into righteousness? Or will we conform to the standard of the times in which we live instead of taking a stand against these times and speaking against it, crying aloud and sparing not? Man of God, this is our shining moment to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Not some watered down version of a Jesus that we don't know. No, the reality of Christ's life and he who lives within us. That's greater than he that is within the world. Would you like to pray about that today? My brother, are you on the verge of just staying in ministry just to make money? Are your needs not being met by the people? And you've been convinced that you need more? So you're going to milk more of God's people. You need more partners. It's false. Stop it. Lay your life down. Come back to the cross. So at the cross, God can crush that old man and bring forth fruits that point to righteousness and righteous living. Father, I pray for these that are viewing today and those who may view later. I'm praying for this generation, Lord, that is on the verge of being deceived. These false teachers, more of them are coming forth. As Peter was saying, they're coming. They're going to be false prophets, false teachers among you. They're going to introduce destructive heresies, teachings that are false, and deceive many. Many are going to follow these pernicious and destructive ways. God, they're going to be confused. We ask you to show us mercy, O God. This is the day in which it's going to happen. This is the generation that we live in. Please intervene in the hearts of those who are viewing so that they can be protected from deception. Whole households are being converted to unrighteousness. Father, we pray that you will raise up hands and help to those that are standing in the faith, those that are standing for righteousness. Help them with mercy, Lord. Unite the hearts of those who are true disciples that have denied self to take up their cross daily and follow you. Help us, Father God, that we would connect hands with those who are holding you as the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, precious Lord. You will bring swift destruction upon these false teachers. You will provide whatever is needed to bring about the truth in our day. Thank you for helping us. We trust that you will continue to hear the cries of those that want truth, that want to be fed the right thing. Please assist and come to their aid is my prayer. We thank you for hearing us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for those of you that are viewing. This is Pastor Mark Copeland. We're signing off this present truth. We'll be back by God's grace for another episode on next week. Until then, may God's riches be yours, and we'll see you next time. God bless. Stay strong.